In this hour of the program, we will explore the work of Joseph Pilates and the system of exercise and physical movement that he developed. And we have two guests here with us in the studio. Our guests are Romana Krzyżanowska. She's a protege of Joseph Pilates, the man who developed the system. First worked with him when she was 16 years old, and she is now 81 and continues to teach and to spread his techniques around the world. She is here visiting in Champaign-Urbana. And also with us is Janice Dulac. She is a dancer. She's a certified Pilates teacher and is owner of the Pilates Center in Champaign. And we'll be talking a little bit about what it is. I imagine there are a lot of folks who perhaps have heard of it but aren't really quite sure what Pilates is all about. And in fact, there may be some people who would say, I don't know anything about it. And so we'll be talking in very basic terms about what it is. And of course, questions are welcome from people who are listening. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, is 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Thank you very much for being here, both of you. I'm afraid I've been mangling your name now. Every time I say it, I think, am I saying it incorrectly?
No.
Am I?
You're saying it very well.
Oh, all right. Well, good. That was one of the things. I came in here to the studio and I said, I must ask about the pronunciation, and I didn't have the chance to. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Glad to have you here. Oh, perhaps one other thing I do want to mention, too, that Janice Dulac has authored a book that's about riding, horseback riding. She is a dressage rider herself, and she has written a book entitled Pilates for the Dressage Rider, The Lengthening and the Collection of the Spine. So if you're ride horses, this is something that you might find very interesting. I would be interested in hearing from Romana, if you might talk a little bit about your first experiences having met and worked with Joseph Pilates.
My first lesson, I thought, was absolutely terrible, horrible. I hated it. But I went because Mr. Balanchine told me that I should go see him before the doctor. Maybe he could help my bone-chipped ankle. Hmm.
And people will recognize the name of the very famous choreographer. So you were a dancer at the time.
I was a dancer, yes, ballet dancer. Hmm. And I had the misfortune of having a little bone chip. And doctors wanted to operate. And Mr. Balanchine said, let's go see Joe, Mr. Joe Pilates. Hmm. And I thought he was wild, making me do all of these things. He wasn't bothered with my ankle. It was making me lift my legs and bop ma's and my arms and my whole body moving this way and that way. I thought it was fun, but I didn't have time for fun. I prefer the ballet.
Well, over time, though, you feel this was something that benefited you as a dancer and more generally just in terms of your health?
Yes. Well, that was the result of my first lesson. I thought it was crazy. Mm-hmm. How am I going to get well doing all of this? So he told me to take 5 lessons, and the fee was $3 a lesson. And after the 5th lesson, he'd give me the money back if it hadn't worked. But by the 3rd lesson, I said, oh, this is wonderful. This is fabulous. Mm-hmm. I'm getting so strong and under control. The name of the work is Contrology, the Art of Control. And you can tell Pilates is, I can tell you about Pilates in 3 words. It is stretch with strength and control. Mm-hmm. So your mind guides your body through a series of exercises that last 45 minutes to an hour, nonstop working. And it's really marvelous. It's helped so many people that I'm happy that I can speak more about it.
And perhaps one of the things that I didn't mention at the beginning that maybe would be interesting for folks is it does seem, from what I have read, that it's popular with a lot of different people, but particularly dancers over time have really embraced it, and also athletes as well, people who use their bodies in their work.
It's a delightful massage to the body after having played polo.
Ah. Not an experience I've had or anybody I know. I'll take you at your word.
And golf.
Well, okay.
And tennis.
And it seems that there are some other techniques that look at body mechanics, look at the way that people use their bodies and the things that mm-hmm. they do. It seems, though, that maybe one of the differences between that, something like, for example, the Alexander technique, maybe one difference between that and Pilates is that it's not just about looking at the way you use your body, but there is a strength component to it. And it doesn't involve lifting weights or anything like that necessarily, but there are exercises that are about building strength.
Yes. Right?
They're basically all the exercises are building strength, but also with your flexibility. So mm-hmm. in a gym, you might do a bicep and you make that muscle real short and strong. Pilates never does that. While you're strengthening one muscle, you're stretching the other one. And so the muscle develops longer. It doesn't bulk
up. Long lines.
Which is why mm-hmm. it was popular with dancers.
Mm-hmm. One, I guess one of the, if you're looking for a criticism, I suppose, one of the criticisms that I think has been made is that if you're concerned with your whole body conditioning, that it's not particularly aerobic.
That's
now,
a
maybe
mistake.
That's right. That's not, you think it's
that's
mistake.
Not true. Mm-hmm. Because your heart and your lungs are attacked as soon as you lie down on the apparatus. And the first exercise you do is for your heart and your lungs. And you're pumping the blood through your system by lifting and lowering your arms. Mm-hmm. And you're breathing deeply in and deeply out to empty the lungs. So that's very important to start with that exercise.
It can be very aerobic, absolutely. There are people who come in. I've seen Romana work. PK, your client in New York, she had mm-hmm. polio, came in a wheelchair. Now, at the beginning, I'm certain the heart and lungs were working. But as you go along, it's gentle enough for people that have problems. That's another way people seek out Pilates, is because they realize nothing else has worked for them. Mm-hmm. And they usually end up in Romana's studio.
Well, it's interesting because I think, as I understand it, some of the first people that Joseph Pilates worked with when he was in the early stages of developing the system, I guess this would have been perhaps in the 20s or somewhere before that, were people who were bedridden.
Just after the war.
After World War One, so it was with people who were injured and were in
our
bed.
Soldiers who had legs cut off and arms, and sort of give them another new life that they can still move other parts of their body and how to walk and how to use themselves. Mm-hmm.
It particularly stresses developing strength of the trunk. Is
the
that
powerhouse,
right? The abdomen, the back?
We call it the powerhouse, this band that runs around your middle, mm-hmm. like a circle. This is really very important to have, as strong inward and upward.
It's what physical therapists are now calling, the popular word right now is core strength, mm-hmm. and that's what a lot of physical therapists are doing, and they have core classes, places. Pilates has been doing this since 1920, this is what he's been doing. And now just people are catching on, going, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, instead of just strengthening arms and legs, they're realizing that the core of the body must be strengthened to support the appendages, the limbs of the body.
Especially your back.
Hmm. Well, that's something that, over the years, I've done a number of programs with an orthopedic surgeon here in town. We talk about back problems. And that's one of the things that he always stresses and says, well, you know, the muscles of your back and the muscles of your abdomen are very important in supporting your spine.
Absolutely.
So if those muscles are weak, and if, mm-hmm. as some of us do, we're carrying around a little too much in that area, then
you don't carry too
well,
much.
No, I don't carry too much. But then, you know, that may be one of the reasons why back pain and back problems are a very, very common complaint
in
this country.
I would like to I used to go to a chiropractor 3 times a week. I was a dancer, and my back hurts. From the time I was 16, I would see a chiropractor, and it got to be where in San Francisco I was dancing professionally. 3 times a week I was at the chiropractor's office. Well, I found Pilates. Then I was going to the chiropractor once a week, then once every other week, and then once a month, and then maybe once a year. And in 10 years, I haven't seen a chiropractor, and my back pain has gone away completely.
Hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what some of the basic exercises are in Pilates?
Well, they're control. You lie on a mat on the floor. We have it's no impact on any joint in your body. You're lying down. Mm-hmm. Most of the exercises are done lying down. You're either lying on the apparatus and pushing springs with your legs, or you're lying down on a mat and doing your sit-ups, your leg circles, your arms. And it's just a very important thing to follow a certain plan of exercises. Hmm.
For example, it's hard to explain over the radio what the exercises look like, but it's all done fewer repetitions, but the form, the control over the exercises, that's where we get the results. You can do 500 sit-ups a day, and people come up and down and up and down and up and down, and they're arching their back, and they're poking their ribs out, and their shoulders are up around their ears, and their back's arched off the floor when they get down. And they'll probably end up hurting themselves. When you do a Pilates sit-up, it's done precisely with control, and you may do 3 to 6 of them, and then you do a different exercise. You never overtax the muscles so that the work gets sloppy. And then you do it incorrectly, and then you injure yourself. It's always done with the correct form.
Mm-hmm. And you always do an exercise that goes one way. The next one will go the other way.
For example,
so that you don't tire the body at any time.
So if you round the spine, then you might arch the spine. It's like a cat. My cat gets up in the morning and he arches his back way up, and then he does the other way and he stretches a leg out.
And that's what Joe Pilates based his work on in the beginning, was how the animals stretch and how we should stretch and how we should have strength. So it's stretch, strength, and use your head.
Maybe I should introduce again our guest for this part of Focus 580. We're talking with Ramona Krzyżanowska. She's a protege of Joseph Pilates, the man who developed this system of movement and exercise we're talking about here. And a lot of people, various places around the world, have been doing it for some time now. She's, as we mentioned, when she started out, had her first sessions with Joseph Pilates when she was a teenager, and she was a ballet dancer, and has continued to this very day to travel really around the world doing training and talking about the Pilates system. Also here with us, Janice Dulac. She's a certified Pilates teacher and is owner of the Pilates Center in Champaign. And questions are certainly welcome. People want to call in and talk with our guests, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Is the system of the workout, I guess, that you would design for an individual, the collection of exercises that you would suggest, is this something that it is individually tailored to each person? So
yes.
Everyone is going to have something that's going to be a little bit different.
Going to be what they need. For instance, if a lady comes in, she has very heavy thighs, and she'd like to get rid of that, we work on that especially. But we don't just work on that. We work on the whole anatomy. Mm-hmm. And they have very good results.
And if somebody's comes in and they're very tight, they'll have a different workout than a dancer comes in and who's very flexible. You wouldn't give them the same workout. The dancer doesn't need to work on flexibility, maybe. They're flexible enough. They need to work on strength so they can control their flexibility. Whereas the maybe the tennis player, somebody who's very athletic, they will might be stiffer. So we're going to have to give them all this, besides all the basic exercises that most people do, the exercises we choose for them for their session will focus then on stretch for the athletic person.
Or so if someone has a weak knee, we'll work around that. They get a marvelous workout, and maybe there is an exercise special to strengthen the bad knee. Mm-hmm. Stretch it.
What do you recommend for people in terms of how much time they spend doing their exercise in a given week, or does that also vary with the individual?
Joe Pilates only wanted his clients to come 3 times a week, and he gave them things they could do at home in bed, or on the floor, or standing up. And he said it's not necessary to come more than 3 times a week if you work out well.
And unfortunately, right now at the Pilates Center, we are so swamped with business that most of my clients actually only come and take their lesson once a week. And then they, when I give them permission, when I feel that they can exercise safely, they join one of our mat classes, and then they can come in 2 to 3 times a week by taking a couple mat classes during the week. But I don't let any beginners go into a mat class just right off the bat.
Because so. They need to have help in the beginning.
Okay, just to make sure they're doing the exercises in the proper yes. way.
Exactly. They have to know
what they're doing,
what Joseph Pilates, what his work means.
And well, they have to have a memory because there's a definite order to each exercise.
We have some listeners who would like to ask questions, I'm sure. So we will do that. We'll go to the telephone, starting with someone in Chicago. And this is line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Hello. In the beginning, supposedly there was some problem with copywriting, so not everyone could call themselves Pilates, but you probably know that there's a proliferation of Pilates instructors and videos for popular consumption, and there's different methods, and one is called The Method by Jennifer Kreese, and then there's yeah. Amari Windsor. Wow. And just from what you've just said, it sounds like you would not suggest that people use videos because it seems that your program is very specific to the individual and very monitored in the beginning. And, of course, doing this from a video is the exact opposite.
I've never seen it in video work.
I usually tell my clients, oftentimes they'll come to me and they have said, I've been doing Pilates for a year. And I go, oh, yes, where have you been doing it? Well, I had the video. And I said, well, you come and see me. And then it takes me 6 months to undo all the bad things that they've been doing to themselves. All exercise is good. I shouldn't say that it's bad things. But Pilates really does make things correct, when your body correct, when you have an instructor with the hands on the body showing you exactly what muscle to use, where to put your shoulders, your arms, so that you're safe. And you'll get a lot more benefit out of having a teacher.
Then the second question, of course, is how do you find someone who truly is a qualified Pilates teacher?
I'll answer that, Ramona, if you don't mind.
Answer.
I would just say ask what their qualifications are, their certification courses. It's just like even with yoga or ballet or dressage riding, anybody can hang their shingle out and say, I'm a dressage teacher or I'm a yoga teacher. I say if you are looking to inform yourself about what your teacher's certification requirements were. Was it an internet certificate? Was it a 2-day seminar? Mm-hmm. Or was it, which Ramona requires us, it takes a year to become certified. And then I've been certified since 1993. I'm required to go back. Not that I'm required to. I would go back anyway for continuing education every year. So I think it's important for people interested in Pilates to research their potential or teacher's backgrounds and find out what their qualifications are.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. To another caller here. This is Normal, line number 1. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to know what your guests think about recommending Pilates, perhaps with some modifications, for someone who is 56 years old in relatively good health and shape, other than having had a total hip replacement because of osteoarthritis. Can they still participate in Pilates training?
Well, we have 4 people who have 2 hip replacements.
Okay.
And they're doing beautifully.
Okay.
And one person is a man, and he's a famous golfer.
All right.
And he has gone back to playing golf. And actually, I warn him every time I see him, which is twice a week, that he shouldn't be playing so much golf, because there is one part where you take your hip forward and swing with power this cane they have. And it really is dangerous, that position of bringing the hip forward.
Uh-huh.
You should keep your hip. And also, to bend your knee too deeply sometimes and in close to you and bend forward,
right,
you should restrain yourself a bit.
Right, but with some modification, just watching out for...
Also, I have had fabulous dancers, soloist dancers, that had hip replacements, and they're back dancing.
Okay.
Okay. Not full out like they used to.
Right.
But they're very happy, and they don't have pain.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call. I did mention, I hope you didn't mind, I mentioned that you were 81.
That's all right.
I am. I guess that would indicate that age is not necessarily a limiting factor. That you can,
I can outdo
you do
any
it as long?
Of my pupils.
I don't doubt it for one second.
You want to see how strong I am?
I'll take your word. I'll take your word for it. Okay. Holy cow. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, she's a strong woman. No doubt about it. So you could virtually continue to do Pilates as long as you...
There isn't an exercise of Pilates that I can't do. Maybe I'm a little out of breath because I haven't been working. I've been traveling on airplanes. You know, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, when I was an apprentice in Romana's studio, Bobo, who was probably, 70 at the time,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Broadway actress, you've seen her on Nescafe commercials. Bobo's since passed now, but I was supposed to be teaching Bobo. And here I was, a dancer, 30 years old, in the prime of my physicality. And Bobo said, get down on the floor with me, sweetie, and we're gonna do the leg sidekick series together. Oh my gosh, I could barely keep up with her. So
that's
you have it.
Strength. That's what Pilates is. Three things. Mm-hmm. Stretch, strength, and use your head.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's interesting too, because I think that probably now more and more people have been stressing the importance of strength as part of your total fitness package, mm-hmm. and particularly for seniors, for people who are in the older
That's
age
true.
Categories, mm-hmm. saying, you know, it's certainly possible for people like that to do some strength training and to continue to have strength at that age. It's a very important thing.
We're not going backwards.
No, we aren't. And I would like to mention that Generations of Hope up in Rantoul, some of your listeners might know that program. Mm-hmm. They invited me up to teach a group of their retired people. We sat, there were seven or eight of us in a chair, and we did Pilates sitting in the chair, and we worked the powerhouse, and we worked the arms, and we worked the legs, and we had wonderful time, and they really enjoyed it.
Okay, let's talk with someone else. Here we have someone in Urbana, line two. Hello.
Yeah, what are the similarities and differences between Pilates and yoga? And has there been any impact of the Alexander Method on the development of Pilates?
Joseph Pilates happened to have taught in the beginning Alexander. And Alexander left and made his own school, his own thought. But he studied with Joe Pilates before. He made his own.
Very interesting.
Yes.
And what about the similarities and differences between Pilates and yoga?
Well, I think there is... I'm not too sure because I don't do yoga. I've never done it. I've done more strenuous martial arts, which I found interesting and beautiful. And Mr. Pilates also did martial arts. He was a boxer. He was a fencer. He did all kinds of sports. He came to this country through the boxing and the wrestling.
And I would like to add, yoga is a discipline all its own. It's very well respected. But it is separate. It's a separate discipline, and I don't think it's unless one knows about yoga, you can actually do the comparisons. Pilates is a discipline all into its own, and as we keep saying, it's strength and stretch with control. There's movement. You're always moving in Pilates.
We make you sweat.
It's a workout.
That's what it is.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
Other
you.
Questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We're about midway through this part of Focus 580. Our guest, Janice Dulac, she's a certified Pilates teacher and owner of the Pilates Center in Champaign, and also Romana Krzyzanowska. She is an international Pilates teacher. First studied with Joseph Pilates when she was a teenager and a dancer, with Balanchine, no less, mm-hmm. and now is considered really to be the heir to his technique. And again, questions are welcome. I think that when you're talking about, and I shouldn't make it sound like I know more than I do, but when you're talking about techniques like yoga or the Alexander technique.
They're fine, but yoga is more a religion.
Well, that's where I'm going for, the idea that in addition to being a kind of a physical exercise and thing that you can do as a physical exercise. There is, I'm not quite sure what the word to use to describe it is. There is some non-physical component mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily have to be involved in, but some people
like
who are deeply involved
brain
in
brain out to visit Chopin.
Something like that. With Pilates, what is there something that happens to your brain? How would you say that your brain is involved, or is it more just a body exercise thing?
I don't think so. To move your body correctly, you have to think. You have to realize what alignment is. There's a lot of geometry in it. It's not far away from yoga. Yoga, you have to concentrate. I've never studied it. I just have seen it. And my stepfather was a great yoga student, but he was more with it as a religion. He sat very long times with crossed legs and meditated.
And I would say that there are people that I think Pilates is brilliant for every body. Mm-hmm. However, there are people that won't like it. If the people like to come in to a workout and put on headphones and, you know, listen to music and dance around and do their treadmill and just kind of zone out, they're not going to like Pilates. Pilates requires you to use your mental focus to perform the exercises the way Joseph wanted you to do them, to get the most out of them. You do not have time to think about, I've got to stop at the cleaners. I've got to, when am I cooking for dinner? Oh, no, I have to go to the grocery. You don't have time to think about everything but focus on your powerhouse and on doing the movements and stretching. And when my clients and Romano's clients leave the studio, they feel 2 inches taller. They feel happy, uplifted. They feel
light,
like they've been massaged, and they're never sore the next day. That's the other wonderful thing.
Well, sometimes.
Sore the next day. There's good sore. There's good sore.
Yeah. Well, it means you've just worked on some muscles you haven't used in a while.
Right. Well, I tell my clients if they go home and their rear ends hurt or their stomachs hurt, you've made me a happy camper.
Well, I think that's interesting that one of the things that you see with, it seems to me, with a practice like yoga or Tai Chi or perhaps with Pilates or other sorts of things, is that it does, in addition to the kind of a physical exercise that goes with it, there is this opportunity to try to clear aside some of that junk. You know, mm-hmm. no matter what you're mm-hmm. doing, the idea is that you're focusing on what it is you are doing. Mm-hmm. And that I'm sure that a lot of people probably appreciate having that moment that not only you have this physical exercise, but it's a sort of a quiet, it gives you an opportunity to quiet yourself down.
Well, I have a lawyer, very fine lawyer. Actually, we have 3 lawyers. They come early in the morning, mm-hmm. 3 times a week. And they just love Pilates because they say, I've got my mind together to face today's labor.
I had a surgeon that I worked with, and he used to go to the gym in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then he had to go into surgery. And he said he could not hold the instruments. His arms were shaking because he was so tired from the workout. So he used to have his I wouldn't come in at 5 for him. But he used to come in about 5:30, and by 6:30 he was out. And by 7 o'clock he was at the operating table, and he said it really cleared his mind. He didn't feel that shakiness in his muscles, and he felt refreshed, and he could actually focus better and use his body better.
Mm. Now, Pilates does use some particular kinds of exercise equipment.
Yes.
That are special to Pilates that you're not going to find any in another gym.
The hardest part, the hardest equipment is no equipment at all. And then the next step is to do what you can do on the mat or without equipment, to do it on the universal reformer, which is called his piece of equipment, that has 4 resortes.
Springs. She was just in Brazil for a couple of weeks.
Oh.
I start speaking Portuguese. Well, anyway, you have a table with 4 springs, and you lie down on it, and you push the pedals out and bring it in, and this is to get you going. Get mm-hmm. your blood going. I mentioned it before, breathing in your lungs and out your lungs, getting your heart beat, and That's how you do the first thing. The second thing you do is massage the spine, articulate the vertebrae by taking your legs in some straps, taking them over your head, and rolling down through your spine, vertebrae by vertebrae, and pushing against the springs to lift you up and bring you over. So that's your second exercise. And then we have another one that if someone has asthma, for instance, or hard time breathing, or delicate lungs, this is wonderful for them, especially on a day that's very humid and bother the people. So you do what we call rowing. It's like rowing your rowboat. You sit on the apparatus and row. Then we do rolling like a ball, which is wonderful. And you do exercises at home with your spine against the wall, and you can bend over, supported by the wall, and you can come up. And all of this is for the articulation of the spine and the muscles that go along it.
There are approximately 8 or 9 different pieces of apparatus that Joseph created, because he created the mat work first, and then he thought, well, how can I help people, help them feel how to use, because people will always use their knees and their thighs.
And they also want to use something to play thing.
Yes. Yeah, so in fact, the apparatus emphasizes what you've learned on the mat. For example, there's a teaser, an exercise called the teaser on the mat. There's a teaser on the reformer. There's a teaser on the Cadillac. There's a teaser on the chair. Mm-hmm. There's a teaser on my horse.
And all for the stomach.
All for the stomach. And so he took the exercises from the mat and put them on the different apparatus so that you could have it to help you feel this exercise. And each one makes you feel it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. But it is, so you can go and obviously, I guess if you had enough money, you could have your own, but you can do these things at a place like your place. But
you get your setup of exercises. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to work with somebody, there are places that have this, and you can go and do your workout by yourself.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it would still be possible for somebody to do a workout at home, and wouldn't have to have the
absolutely
many people at home doing it.
I tell my clients now, you come once a week, but this is your homework. You go home and do these exercises at home. And I said, in a year, you better be doing your whole mat at home a couple times a week. So little by little, they get their homework to have at home. And some people, there's smaller pieces of apparatus, the spine corrector and the chair, that people actually can eventually, when they're safe to do so, they can have these little pieces at home to help them.
For instance, if you suffer from asthma, we have a little apparatus you can put on your bed and you lie over it to open out the chest and to help you breathe. People who have severe asthma attacks and so on love that. So they buy one and they have it there when they need it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I guess I'm sort of going back to the Alexander technique, that they have this idea that that a fair amount of pain that people experience has to do with using your body in the incorrect way.
Well, you walk incorrectly, your feet hurt. You walk incorrectly, your knees and your hips can hurt.
It's similar because we work on posture. We work on the body being symmetrical. And I've studied Alexander. I have an Alexander teacher that teaches at my studio. He's fabulous. It's fabulous work, but it's because it's all about the same thing, the lengthening of the spine and the a better posture so that you can use your body better in daily life.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just saying that you're sort of in agreement with this idea that maybe pain and stress and things like that can have to do with the way you use your body.
Absolutely.
And if you're using it, you're using it wrong.
It wouldn't hurt you if you use it right.
Right. We're finding a lot of people have the lower back problems, of course. But
99% of the people that I've ever seen in my life, and you just sit in a sidewalk cafe in New York and watch the people go by, they don't know how to walk.
Mm-hmm.
They have no understanding. Their bellies are out. Their bottoms are down. They hunch over, or they hunch back, or they arch their back and throw out their chest, which is the style now. It's ugly.
You think there is a style of walking?
Oh, the young girls today, haven't you seen them? They push this out, arch this back, and open this chest, and prance down the street.
I'll just have to look for that.
You might like it.
You think?
I don't know.
But with so many people working computer jobs, people's heads are forward, their shoulders are hunched.
People with scoliosis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that if we go out and we look at everybody, perhaps people have different ways. They locate stress different parts of their bodies. But
absolutely.
I'll bet that if we, you know, ask people, well, you know, does your neck bother you? Do your shoulders bother you? Does your back bother you? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the muscles in your shoulders are just like rocks?
A
lot of times they are. And that, I'm sure for lots
they
and lots of people,
wrong.
That's mm-hmm. where they got their stress.
They got a draft from the car. They're driving. Yeah.
Let's talk with somebody else here. We have a caller in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hi. I'm a longtime martial arts practitioner, karate in particular.
Love it.
And I'm very interested in posture. In our method, I find that when we stand, we're advised not to tuck our tailbones under, say, the way Tai Chi people seem to. Instead, our instructor says that if you relax, the natural position of your spine, if you look from the side, is more like a gentle S-curve with a slight little curve before you get to your buttocks. Do you have a view of that in Pilates training? Did that question make sense?
Yes.
We do the martial arts. I mean, we have taught a lot of people that have done a lot of martial arts, myself included. I love doing them. And I don't know if I had the right teacher or not, but he never corrected my vertebrae in my back.
Well, I'd like to add to that. When we talk about, there's a whole thing called neutral spine, and what has happened is that most of us, if you look at a three-year-old sitting at, I watched a three-year-old sit up at a piano bench, a perfectly lengthened spine, very little, the curves are there, but they're very gentle and slight. Well, what happens when that little three-year-old gets older? They start using their legs, and then their legs get strong, and then gravity pulls and makes the curves of the spine more accentuated. So what I feel that Pilates does is it does not take the curves out of your spine, but just as Alexander also tries to do, we try to, I call it take the slack out of the back so that if you imagine your spine as chain links and they're all buckled down on each other because they're lying on a table. Now you take that and you anchor it at the bottom and you lift it up and you stretch those links long. The curves are still going to be there. You're not going to take them out, but you're going to support them so that they are not accentuated so that you have the perfect alignment, which from the side should be a plumb line drawn from your ear, through your shoulder, through your rib cage, through your hips, through your knee, and through your feet. Now, if you can get that plumb line, and that's if you go to any physical therapist, that's what they will tell you. That's the plumb line that Pilates uses. We do not tuck our tail under. We lengthen the spine.
So can I conclude from that you shouldn't, for good posture, it's not a desirable thing to artificially tuck your tail under, and that there is, just as you put it, a very slight but nonetheless sort of mild, very, very mild S-curve when you lengthen your chains.
Absolutely. The spine should be natural, but the problem is we don't usually have natural spines anymore because we are sitting at desks and our posture is bad from, you know, carrying book bags on one side as a teenager. So
carrying your baby on your hip later.
Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question, I hope?
It does. If I could ask just one final parting question.
Sure.
When we're just standing naturally and trying to feel our chain is lengthened, is it consistent with the correct feeling to feel as though perhaps someone in space was gently lifting you by the back top of your head?
I felt that.
The back top of your head, yes. But the only way you can support that is using the powerhouse. You have to have the engagement of the stomach muscles lifting in and up. You can't have your belly poking out. If you sit there right now and poke your belly out, feel what that does to your lower back. It arches it. Now pull the stomach in and up And that's what's going to help that imaginary person pull up your spine. They can't do it all for you. You have to use your powerhouse.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Right. Let's go to line number two in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a number of friends who have a number of conditions, and I wonder whether they are able to use Pilates or whether there are modifications of Pilates that would work for them.
Probably.
And I'm going to run through a list, and you can comment as you're able. Parkinson's disease.
Well, you can't cure that, but you can ease them by giving them a nice workout. Most of the exercises being lying down, and the others, how do you walk?
Spinal stenosis.
Well,
You with the spinal stenosis, one of the things that you don't want to do is arch your back. You want to keep your spine rounding, which Pilates does beautifully, and keeps the spine flexible. I have a woman that I work with right now, and she's never been diagnosed, but most of the massage people and people she has seen, think that maybe she has a little stiffness of that spine, or well, it's a more in-depth condition than that, but she can't arch. But we do everything else. We bend her spine in different ways.
Scoliosis
definitely is great for the back. Our little ice skaters suffer a lot now for scoliosis because they skate only one direction around using one leg much more than the other, and this causes the young kids to have crooked spines.
Mm-hmm. And I do work with a client right now, Dorothy, and she's in so much less pain since she's been doing Pilates.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, you can only ease people like that. It's very painful sometimes in some days, but you can't really cure that. Now, we don't say we cure anything, but we do make people much more comfortable.
Carpal tunnel?
The same.
How about spinal cord injuries that leave you in a wheelchair?
Well, that goes a bit far, but there's always something you can give a person in a wheelchair. The stretching of the neck muscles, lifting the shoulders, lowering the shoulders, little arm exercises. You can help all of these things. You can relieve them. And sometimes you get the great surprise that they get out of their wheelchair.
Wow. How about, finally, Alzheimer's?
Impossible.
Which involves the mind as well as...
Well, it's very sad. It would be nice that some of our scientists could find a pill that would help these people. But they haven't been able to yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because you have to have a... It depends on how much they could concentrate if they are...
Well, I have one lady who they don't know what she has, but she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. She's been doing Pilates for 15 years. She can walk without a cane. She's weak, yes, but she can walk and get around.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. So it is possible for people who have various kinds of joint complaints,
yes,
to do this, and as you say, it's not going to make it go away, but maybe you might make them feel a little bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And this is where a real Pilates trained certified instructor knows how to take each one of those 500 exercises that Joseph has that we have to choose from. We can take each exercise, and we can modify it for a bad neck, a bad shoulder, a bad back,
a bad body.
A bad, a bad earlobe. That's the training we have with Romana, is because she's 81. She's been working in this for how many years?
Since
she was 41. And she, that's what we keep learning from her, and we keep going back. And
they keep me traveling.
We're so lucky to have her here.
Well, you, a little earlier, she demonstrated her strength for me, and I can attest to that. Is it indeed something that over time you find people do become
much
stronger,
more,
even visibly?
They become stronger and stretched, not tight.
I have to talk about, I was in for continuing education in New York in December, and this Romana was working with this remarkable young man. He, well, I don't know, how old was he? Maybe 30s, 40s. He looked like he was in his 30s. I thought he was a dancer. He had the most beautiful posture. He had legs that went up to his ears. Romana would hold his thigh up, and then he would extend his leg up over his head. This gentleman was, I just assumed he was a ballet dancer, and it was one of your lawyers.
And he was happy.
Mm-hmm. It just
made such progress. Mm-hmm.
So you can take... I say Pilates can be for, well, our oldest client in the Pilates Center is 84 years old.
Mine's 92.
And you have 92. Wow. And we can go from there, from a workout for somebody that's 90 even, who's never exercised, to, I say, Cirque du Soleil.
And you actually, some of those people actually are, they have done Pilates.
We have a teacher in almost all the Cirque du Soleil studios and ice skating places because it's really helping them, especially the ones that go always on the same leg.
Mm-hmm. And you know that USA Today article that came out about a year ago, all the star pitcher of the Arizona
the
baseball
Diamondbacks.
Team? Diamondbacks. Who's the star pitcher? Do you know? I don't know anything.
I know.
But
I
he
had
was
that
he was in yeah.
And
he,
that famous golfer.
Golfers and the basketball players, and they now bring the Pilates apparatus when they fly and they have to go someplace for a game. They actually bring the Pilates apparatus and their teachers with them.
Let's talk with someone else here on a cell phone, line 4. Hello.
Hi. Yes. Hello. Such an interesting program. I was wondering if you would give us kind of a over-the-radio short lesson on how you should walk. You talked a little bit about seeing people walking and noticing that they were not being good to their bodies the way they were holding themselves. Can you explain a little bit how we should walk?
Well, I'll be as helpful as I can be. When you walk, you shouldn't put all the weight on your heel first and lift up the metatarso. You should put the metatarso down on the floor as soon as possible and then walk and push away with your heel. That sounds a little complicated, but if we were face-to-face, you would learn it right away.
Often what Romana does is she'll have us walk across the room and she will look at our gaits and she will say, oh, look at your shoulders coming up here. You can relax that shoulder down, just these, or a hip's coming up. So it's kind of hard to describe.
And another thing I can say to improve, make sure you're not letting your arches roll in. Don't be pigeon-toed on one leg or on two legs. And don't turn out like a duck because both are wrong. Try to keep your foot straight and underneath you as you change from step to step and push through your whole foot from the metatarso down to the heel. Most people do the other way around. Hmm.
Do you find it must be, if people have acquired over a long period of time habitual ways of moving, it must be difficult to train them to do differently.
But sometimes people want it so much, they learn it and they maintain it and they practice it. They go home. I give them exercises special for one thing. And I think all of them, before they've reached 30 lessons, have changed their body completely. Mr. Pilates used to say, take 3 lessons a week for 30 lessons and you have a new body. And I've tried this and I've listened, I've watched. It's true. Take 30 lessons with your old body, you'll have a new one.
Back to walking just really quickly. I see a lot of people waddle.
Oh, they do.
Their legs are out from underneath their hips, and they just kind of go from side to side. Another thing in Pilates brings that back under our center to support our body weight so that your legs are right underneath your body. So that's another thing that you can watch for when you walk.
Well, we're at a point here where I think we're going to have to stop because we have used our time. For people who are interested, they can contact you at the Pilates Center in Champaign if they'd like to find out more of what it's about.
Absolutely.
And in the phone book?
I hope so. I have so much business now. I haven't been advertising, but we should be found in the phone book. We also have a website, www.pilatesctr.com. that stands for center.com. You can go there and email us, and we can send you a brochure. You're always welcome to stop by the studio at 44 East Main.
All right. Well, Janice Dubach.
In Champaign.
She's the owner of the Pilates Center in Champaign, and Romana Krzyżanowska, she's international Pilates teacher, the man who's recognized as being the heir to the man himself, Joseph Pilates, and continues to practice now. At age 81, started when she was 16 years old and a little ballet dancer, and it looks like it's done you some good.
I feel marvelous.
Thank you very much, both of you,
thank
for
being
here. We appreciate it.